Welcome to show number 127 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. What is going on, everybody? Hopefully you guys are all doing well out there. We got another show this week. Got some interesting stuff happening in sports, baseball in particular. But we also will talk a little bit about the NBA. A couple players retired, and we got the NBA Finals coming up. We'll talk about promoting your site today. I think it always is changing. So we'll talk about some of the methods you can do and all the methods you can do. And that might be the key point to take away on that. We'll talk about, hey, hopefully you got your Gary Carter. I don't know about you, but I got my Gary Carter. Topps is doing a big Gary Carter like sticker slash redemption dump. And if you haven't gotten one by now, consider yourself possibly lucky or unlucky. I don't know how you feel about Gary Carter, but rest in peace. But we'll talk about that. Topps redemption solution, quote unquote, that they've come up with, apparently. We've got players blowing up in the MLB for all kinds of reasons. We got some big names, names that shouldn't be any surprise, but are now officially probably going to get like 100-game or 50-game suspension. Some of these guys have been suspended before, so they're going to get some really big suspensions here. For steroids, so obviously there's tons of guys doing it. If these guys are on the list, if there's 20, 30 guys on the list, you know that there could be 20 guys on one individual team right now that are doing steroids. No joke. So we'll talk about that. And we'll talk about, in terms of, there's been some new, not new releases, but there's been some IDA or some boxes that have been added to the release date schedule. And none of these are any like new sets, except for one. There's one basketball set that I've never heard of that we'll talk about. And I think that's about it. We'll have maybe mix some other sports card stuff in the midst there. Oh, and there's also some baseball players that are probably juicing right now, but they're blowing up and they're on my fantasy team, so I'll talk about them, including a major, major star looks like emerging for the Dodgers. So we'll talk about that. And let's move right into products that were added to the 2013 release date schedule. Were 2013 Bowman Sterling Baseball is a December 18th release. Look for it right around then, hopefully. And it's going to be about $230 a box wholesale, so you're looking at maybe about $275, $250 maybe for a retail customer. It's not marked up a whole lot. Traditional retail, that'd be a $500 box, but maybe if the young man in Los Angeles is in that set and he's doing as well as he has his first couple games in the major leagues, that set may be a $400 box, but I wouldn't roll the dice too early on that. Topps Update Series Baseball, always an interesting release. It always has those all-star patches typically and stuff from the all-star game. Last year, I believe it had all the gold from Series 1 and Series 2. So it was an interest. I wouldn't go back and look how last year's set was selling because there's people collecting it and buying those packs for the gold cards from all the series so they can have them all. So, Update Baseball, $48 a box wholesale. You're looking, $60 a box max. And there are jumbo and regular versions of that. Now, here's the new set that I've never heard of. And I thought when I first saw this, I thought maybe they made a mistake and it should have been 2013, 14, like a new set of basketball. But apparently not. I guess this is still 2012, 2013. Panini Innovation Basketball, and all I really saw was a logo for the product. It's about $80 a box wholesale. It's a one pack, one hit quitter, so it'd be, they're going to try to price it at like $90 to $100 a box. But I think the kicker here, there's some like stained glass inserts in there, and there's also like, I believe it looks like the top 30 picks from possibly this upcoming draft in the NBA. Not 100% sure, but that's what the wording seemed to tell me, that it had upcoming NBA drafts players. And that was 8/14, August 14th. Topps Update Series Baseball, I don't know if I said that. That was October 4th release. Panini Prime Hockey. I thought maybe Anthology Hockey, and we might talk about that in a little bit. Anthology Hockey is coming out like right now. By the time you listen to it, it's out. And I thought maybe that would be the last set because it seems like manufacturers are really excited about the upcoming season. And maybe what I'm reading are typos, but 2012-13 Prime Hockey. 821 release, and I think actually like Score Hockey, this upcoming year's Score Hockey actually comes out. 13-14 Score Hockey, I think there's another, maybe Artifacts or something from Upper Deck comes out before that too. So I think it's just kind of interesting and definitely kind of confusing to collectors that aren't, you know, even if you're just, even if you're into the hobby, it'll be a little confusing for you. And I'm a little puzzling why sets from last year can come out after the sets from the new year come out. It's just kind of confusing. I don't know why it has to happen that way. But I guess, you know, in the long run, 20 years from now, not too many people are going to care too much, I guess. 2013 Top Strata Football returns. $60 a box wholesale. So miss 70, 75. It depends on how the rookies are doing at that time. And that time will be December 11th, so that's a late release. I've seen some of the cards in person. Some of the cards look kind of nice, but I think people were kind of hitting the duds on some of the boxes or things like that this year. Pretty cheap product, though. Anthology Hockey, it was about $75 to $80 a box wholesale. We'll see what happens when this set comes out. It's a mix of some quote rookies and some veteran players, and it uses some Crown Royale technology. I see Elite in there and some other stuff. Interesting stuff. Another thing I wanted to get to you off the kind of wholesale wire, I guess, 2013 Bowman Draft Jumbos were allocated or look like they're going to be Bowman Draft Picks and Prospects Baseball. I think it comes out later this year in the winter. It's going to be allocated off your regular Bowman draft order. And so you can't get 20 jumbo cases in one regular case. You know, if you order 20 regular cases, yeah, maybe you'll be able to get 20 jumbo cases. And that's something maybe if you're new in the business or you're thinking about buying boxes, allocations are really tight, especially, you know, I never really bought and sold that much stuff or had a need to. But if you want to grow to big volume and sell a bunch of cards, allocations will bite you in the butt. And there's lots of talk about how there's could be a lot of ways to price fix there, like manufacturers and the distributors could price fix. They could either team up together or they don't even have to team up together, and the prices could be kind of fixed there, because there's just really not that many distributors of sports cards. Like, honestly, like, people think there's a lot of them. You know, really, there's like five or six of them maybe that you'd want to deal with. And that's just not that many when you look at the other, like, clothing distributors and shoe distributors and electronics and cell phone accessories and whatever it might be. There's tons of them. There's just millions and millions. You go to the 30th page of Google and you'll still find some. So there's just not that many out there. So you can, like, really fix in that kind of market. You can really control price if you're on their end. So not a good business. Wouldn't recommend you going into that business for the second show in a row. Let's move right along into the NBA. Yeah, they're still playing basketball right now. Jason Kidd retired, though. He's not playing basketball no more. He played for like 19 years. I think Grant Hill played for about the same, missed a couple seasons. Two great league ambassadors. I mean, I know, like, Jason Kidd, like, hit his wife or something. Like, I don't know what happened there, but who cares about all that stuff? Everybody, look at Kobe and some of these other guys. Hall of Fame, Jason Kidd for sure in the Hall of Fame. I mean, this guy was like one of the greatest players in the history of the game. You know, not in the top five, but certainly up there, because he was a tremendous player, tremendous defensive player, pretty much complete player. And I heard a lot about him growing up around here because he went to Cal. And, you know, was a hard worker. Heard a lot about how hard he worked, even back into high school and college. Was always working tremendously hard at his basketball game. So, you know, no surprise he played, had a long and lengthy NBA and successful NBA career, both personally, and he won an NBA championship, and he went a couple other times with the Nets. So I'm sure we'll be seeing Jason Kidd. I'm sure he's doing fine, and I'm sure with a 20-year NBA career, you're going to be doing fine. I think he said he even wanted to get into coaching, but never fear. I'm sure we'll see him signing somewhere, some way into the future. Spurs versus Miami into the NBA Finals, and we'll mention Miami, and that's I don't want to segue yet into our next segment, but Miami's on my mind. So the series tips off in Miami. We'll see how this one goes. Who knows? I mean, the Spurs have been resting, and they kind of needed it. I think they had some players banged up or some players that certainly needed rest. They were getting rest during the regular season, so I'm sure they needed rest now. So we'll see. And with a veteran coach, you know, I think we will have the matchup. I think last year we had a matchup of two young coaches, so it kind of like negated it. You know, now we have almost like a Phil Jackson like coach against a coach I think is horrible. I think the coach in Miami is one of the worst coaches in the NBA, but you could put me on, we could put any of our listeners, anybody listening to this podcast right now could go coach Miami, and they'd be in the same situation they are in now. Because, you know, all you need is LeBron and draw up a couple plays here and there. You know, he's a horrible coach, but we'll move on. We'll see what happens. I think that because of that, I think if the Spurs stay healthy, if they don't lose any of their players mid-series, Miami does have some injuries, and they just came off a big, long 7-game series. They got to stay at home and rest up these last couple of days, but I think the Spurs are going to be ready. I bet they're ready to go, ready to play, and so they'll come with some energy, but we'll see. We'll see if they'll be able to match LeBron James. LeBron James is a tremendous – I mean, I'm not breaking any news here. He's tremendous, and he's only going to get better. I've seen him work with his back to the basket. He could be doing that every single game against anybody in the league. So the minute he starts developing that and getting confidence in that, it's going to be really, really hard to beat this guy, especially if they end up getting a good coach or getting better role players around him and a healthier role players around him. I don't know if you need D. Wade and Mike Miller and some of these guys that are always nicked up and always complaining about something. Get those guys out, and Chris Bosh, get those guys out and get some more veteran play, kind of what they had in Cleveland. I think you could have that now, and it would be successful, whereas back when LeBron was younger and shooting jumpers all the time, it didn't really work. So we'll see. The NBA Finals, I think, is compelling. I know a lot of people aren't going to watch it. I might not even catch every game, but I'll certainly see what happens there. Let's move right along into what I want to talk about. I'm going to talk, well, since we were talking about Miami, apparently there's some MLB players. I'm sure there's football players going somewhere. This is probably getting covered up in football as we speak, and all the sports and NCAA. If you go to any D1 school, I'll bet anybody, and pick any D1 football team or any D1 baseball team, and I'll bet you that 50% of the team is 50% of the starters are doing steroids. I would bet anybody straight up, you know, a couple $100, honestly. I think it was rampant back when I was in college, and I don't think times have changed one bit, especially in the NCAA. So, of course, these guys go to college. It's rampant in college right now, I'm sure, 100% sure of that. And so they go to the MLB, and you got money on the line and all that. In college, you're doing it to get drafted. Everybody I knew was fringe talent, and they needed to get better just so they got picked in the 90th round in the MLB draft or whatever. And so guys in the MLB, well, yeah, you're making $400,000 or whatever it is, $100,000 or $1 million or whatever. But yeah, everybody wants to make more money. And so that's and have better stats and have more fans and stuff like that. But it's really about the money. And so these guys do steroids, and I'm not sitting here blaming them or condoning it one way or the other. Honestly, I think down the road we'll look back and say, why, you know, this is helping guys recover. This helps guys hit the ball better. It helps probably prevent injuries, things of that nature. I'm not saying go out and do steroids if you're a young person or if you don't have some very professional doctor. You want to have all that. These guys do. Ryan Braun, you look at Ryan Braun, Melky Cabrera, A-Rod, Nelson Cruz, Jesus Montero. I've seen Yasmani Grandal in person. These guys all look fine to me, and they're all juicing. And so, obviously, nobody's croaking over and dying right now. I mean, yeah, you might die when you're 40, but these guys don't really care right now about that. And so they're suspended. So we'll see what happens there. This is still a developing story, but it's something that you want to keep an eye on, certainly on your fantasy team. And thankfully, I didn't have anybody on these guys, I don't think, on my fantasy team. But there'll be more of this coming out. And so and most of us as fans are comfortable with this, but you know, steroids are part of the game, and they still are. And they'll catch these players with whatever kind of steroid they were doing. Yeah, but there's tons more. There's another group doing it over here. There's another group of players going here, going to this guy, going to this guy, going to this guy. And it's just going to keep going until the leagues get really serious and have a really like kind of death penalty type penalty for steroids, where if you get caught, it's, you know, 5 seasons or something like that immediately, or like 2 seasons immediately. And that would be pretty, especially for an NFL player, that would be pretty damaging. But the NFL doesn't want any part of that. Trust me, the NFL is, if they had, I mean, how are not 20 NFL players busted for steroids? You look at those guys, like, you don't look like, professional wrestlers look like that. And we know what professional wrestlers take to look like that. Like, it's incredible. So that's why, you know, don't jump all over the NFL's the most popular game in America. Yeah, it is right now, but if they tried to clean up the game, it wouldn't be, because all the teams would have half their players gone. Anyways, enough about steroids. Moving on to some players that might be doing it, but if they're on your fantasy team, you don't care. So Matt Carpenter, I'm such a hypocrite, I guess. I the hypocrisy coming out of my mouth right now is horrible. But if, when they're on your fantasy team, it is a little bit different. Or if they're on your team, I guess, too. You might feel differently about Ryan Braun and Nelson Cruz and stuff like that if they miss 100 games. But Matt Carpenter is having a great season. He's hitting the ball well. You just go look at his numbers. I think he has rookies in 2011. Josh Donaldson has come out of nowhere. Not nowhere, but I've seen this guy play actually in person too, and just and seeing his stats and seeing him develop. He's really developed this year, so you can see what you want there. But Josh Donaldson's having a tremendous season. Just thought I'd throw that out there. And my new boy, God, I can't believe I'm saying this because I'm a Giants fan, but when you have fantasy on the line, and this guy had a tremendous first game, and so I went and picked him up, and then I put him in. And I fell asleep. I really wasn't feeling well last night, so I fell asleep early. I was trying to follow the stats on the Dodger game. This guy hit 2 home runs. Yasiel Puig, I think is how you pronounce it. I'm sure his name is all over the place right now. This guy threw out somebody from first base. I've heard comparison to Bo Jackson, which is pretty phenomenal. I don't know if you've seen that 30 for 30. You Don't Know Bo is what it's called. If you don't have ESPN, you can buy it like on iTunes. You might be able to even see it like on Netflix or something like that. I think they Netflix does have some of the 30 for 30s. Check it out. The Bo Jackson one is great. If you grew up with, even if you didn't, especially if you're a kid and you didn't see Bo Jackson, you don't know anything about Bo Jackson really, but kind of like the myth of Bo, watch that movie. It's a really good way to like learn about Bo Jackson. So thought I'd throw that out there, because Yasiel Puig is reminding a lot of people of Bo. And if you're playing fantasy baseball and he's available, go get this guy, because he's lighting it up. We'll see if he has an impact. I know that I've already seen on message boards in sports cards message boards where people are already saying, hey, Puig's going to be in Bowman Chrome. Puig's going to be in Bowman Draft Picks. Puig's going to be in Bowman Sterling or whatever. People are excited. We'll see if he can hold this up. I mean, this is like coming out of the gate hot. So, we'll, you know, hitting home runs and throwing guys out. We'll see. I don't, you know, it take, you know, we did see Mike Trout do something like that. I think he was a little bit older, I don't know, but or had a little bit more experience maybe develop. But yeah, Puig, I mean, who am I to say this guy looks incredible on the field? So are we gonna take a break? No, it's only 18 minutes. Why are we gonna take a break? Let's move right into probably our last topic. I'm trying to go through my topics right here really quickly to make sure. Oh no, I have Topps Redemption Dump. I'm gonna get to that really quickly. Topps Redemption Dump. A while back, I did a trade or something. I'm actually going to contact him after this show or sometime here really quickly on Twitter. I traded, or I was involved in a trade a while ago with a real loyal fan of the show, and he sent me an Aaron Crow 2011 Topps Finest Baseball Autograph Rookie Refractor of Aaron Crow, number 96. It was a redemption card. And he sent that to me. I can't remember why. Maybe because – I'm not going to say why. But so there was – I put it in my account a little while ago, not that long ago. Honestly, I think I had the redemption card for like – a while, several months. Finally, I logged in. I think my brother was doing some Panini redemptions. And so I was like, oh, I think I have this Topps redemption. So we scratched it off and put it in into the Topps website. And I guess they're not going to get the cards or whatever because it had only been a couple months. But they sent me this letter that says, we apologize for the extensive delay. But like I said, it hasn't. I've only had it in my account maybe like a month or two, maybe 3 months. I can't remember when it was, but it hasn't been that long. We apologize for the extensive delay. However, we were trying to obtain the exact card you specified in the original redemption. Due to circumstances beyond our control, we have not been able to obtain the exact card specified. So I guess they realize by now. I think the card actually had like little jersey pieces on it. And so maybe they didn't have any more Aaron Crow, or they were having trouble with that or something. And I can understand that. We hope you enjoy the substitute card we have enclosed. Again, we apologize for the delay and greatly appreciate your business and continued support and interest of Topps product. Now this is printed out on like a little piece of paper that it like cut by hand almost. They printed like a bunch of these out on a regular paper and just cut them out. So they got like, you know, 10 of them per page. Well, what they sent me was a Gary Carter autograph, sticker autograph with like the old shiny sticker. Obviously, well, Gary Carter passed away a while ago. And it's from 2013, but it's not a brand or anything. A lot of people on eBay are listening to this. They're like 2013 Redemption Replacement Chrome or something. It reminds me of like a little bit of like a Topps Platinum card, I think. Topps Platinum or Topps Prime, one of those has this kind of similar look and feel. It's not really chrome-like. It's more like, but it has a little bit of everything in there mixed in. So, interesting way to handle it. I don't know if I saw any real big official announcement. The interesting thing is I was on forums the day before looking at people getting Gary Carters for certain things, and some of them are numbered and some of them aren't. Mine isn't numbered. And it just seems like a lot of people are getting this card. And so I just think it's interesting that Topps chose to do this. Am I really, I'm personally not upset. They could have not sent me anything and it wasn't going to ruin my day. Sending me Gary Carter is actually pretty cool. I actually am going to contact the guy that sent me the original redemption. Make sure, cause I don't know if he would have sent me a Gary Carter autograph. He was sending me Aaron Crow. Now I got Gary Carter. So I'm going to make sure he doesn't want the Gary Carter. But anyways, otherwise I might do it as a little giveaway, but I just think that there were some collectors that were upset. Some collectors thought they would won here, but it is weird. They created like basically these special redemption cards for replacements. This should have been done a long time ago. So what you have in Topps is like a rollover of staff. We've already talked about employees that have been there. So then have left. So, you know, they have some new blood in there, and I think they even hired somebody from Press Pass or something like that. And so you have some new blood in there, and this is their idea. This is, bleh, you know, we're going to print – we got all these stickers from Gary Carter. Make a card real quick, and we'll just send these to everybody. Really what I would have done actually, that's kind of the honorable thing to do. Really what I would have done is I would have contacted everybody and gave them the choice, and those who didn't contact you – I'm sure if you asked the private equity firm, I wouldn't say that's what I would have done. If I would have ran a shop, this wouldn't have never happened. A card company, this would have never happened. But if I was the private equity firm running Topps, I wouldn't even send out the Gary Carter to me. I would have sent me an email. Chances are I wouldn't have seen it or wouldn't have cared. And you wouldn't have had to send me anything. So, or put a time delay on it or say, hey, we don't got the Aaron Crow. Do you want this, this, or this? And if I don't respond within 8 weeks, sorry, we're not getting anything. That's what I would have done. But so at least they're making an effort. At least they sent out the card. But what if I had moved? What if I had, you know, what if I don't like Gary Carter? What if I don't want Gary Carter? What if I really wanted Aaron Crow? I don't remember seeing any communication from them giving me any kind of choice. And so I think this is a step in the right direction. It's kind of clumsy. This is like the really easy way out, and it really only seems like Gary Carter's have been sent out. But, you know, at least they're dealing with it in some way. They're dealing with the backlog that they have of expired redemptions or redemptions that have been sitting in people's accounts for a while. So, but, you know, it's going to be hit and miss. I saw other people on forums saying, hey, I know a guy that got a Bryce Harper red refractor for this, or I got this for this. And typically they were cards that looked like they were held out of production, like really nice cards that were held back for out of production. Well, there's not going to be, you know, unless they kept them all or kept all five of them, they don't have any more. Chances are that was maybe the only one they held back, hopefully. God forbid you hold back like a case, too many of the case hits, and give them away to people that decide to sub out on redemptions. But, you know, stuff like this might happen again. So I don't know how you feel about it. I think it's really interesting. I wish the card on it said something. I mean, down the road, people are going to be like, where did these Gary Carters come from? You know, like it's almost like an uncirculated card because it didn't come in any packs. It came to me kind of out of the blue. So I don't know. I think it's a weird way to deal with it. You can tell they had a lot of Gary Carters. If they sent me one, and I've seen several threads on forums talking about these Gary Carters, you know they had tons of Gary Carter stickers around. So there's going to be tons of these on the secondary market and just floating around all over the place. So the value of his autograph, especially on this card, is going to go down tremendously. So we'll see. It might not go down. I mean, rest in peace, the guy passed away. So, you know, I mean, there's not any new quantity. So at least they got these out into public hands. But we can sit here and complain about that all we want. Last subject I'm going to talk about, moving right along to promoting your website. Back in the day, you used to have to set up a website and then go do all this, like, you had to wait like 3 months, basically, to get any traffic if you didn't want to pay for it right away. And oftentimes it is hard to pay for traffic. You know, you can't just set up a site. Basically, baseball cards doesn't get searched on enough. Compared to everything else in the world, baseball cards, in the search world, people don't search for a whole lot of sports card stuff. Yeah, you might look at your blog or look at other blogs out there and say, oh, wow, they get all these people, but it's not really that. You can get that. If you had a celebrity's website, you'd get that many people in an hour coming to your website, literally. I know people that are in the insurance niche, that are in the – I went to Affiliate Summit West, where a lot of like affiliates are – a lot of people that own websites that try to make money and stuff are. And so there's people in the health niche. The insurance niche is big. I mean, you see a Geico ad every 20 seconds. So you wonder if you had a really popular website for insurance, how much traffic you would get, how much ad revenue you would get. So there's – trust me, there's – you know, you can take what I'm going to tell you now and set up a baseball card website. And yeah, maybe you get some traffic, maybe make a little money, whatever. But trust me, you could do a lot better if you set something up on eyeglasses, anything, any other niche is going to do really well for you. Typically, any massive niche, even if it's competitive, even if you see Walmart and Target, don't get scared of those people. Those people don't optimize their websites particularly well. So especially Amazon. I wouldn't say especially Amazon, but you don't have to worry about Amazon showing up high. You just blow past them whenever you feel like it. So search used to be, you had to like be a top ranking. You don't have to do that these days. It's real easy to create a brand and create loyal following. It's much easier to bookmark sites. People are more connected to the web now. Like back in the day, we used to have our home computer. We used to turn it on and fire up the browser and go to the browser and whatever. And even the browsers are getting better these days to show you your bookmarks right on a screen or show you them more, the websites you visit more consistently and easily. But now we've got our website in our pocket or on our tablet or within arm's reach almost 24 hours a day. A lot of people do. And so that's increased people's use of the internet and demand for it, basically demand for content on the internet that helps them entertain, helps them whatever they're trying to do, whether they're trying to research something or just trying to pass the time in a hopefully not in class or something like that, but you know, on a bus or something like that. So whatever people are trying to do on the internet, it's there. It's arm's reach. So it's so much easier to gain a following, gain people to come to your website and come back to it and back to it. You don't need to even be in the search engines anymore, literally, you know. It's really not I don't want to bore people, but I have websites that I've set up and the very next day have gotten more traffic than I get in a whole week at Sports Card Radio, and I get probably 3,000, 4,000 people a day at Sports Card Radio. You can set up a site and the very next day have thousands of people come to your website. It's not very difficult, especially if you know what you're doing and you know your customer and you can deliver for them. And one way to do it is social media, and this is nothing new. But the thing I see people probably misusing social media the most these days is they overuse one, or they use them the wrong way. They're too they overuse one, and they kind of spit out too much. So what ends up happening is you get glossed over. Your opinion matter. You know, you're always, especially if you're always on like one side, especially if you're just pouring down, visit my blog, visit my blog, visit my blog all day. To me, that screams, I'm desperate, please come to my blog. I need flyby traffic. And that's my point with you. That's why you don't want to spend too much time on any particular social media, whether it be Twitter or Facebook, unless you find one really that converts really well for you, like a Pinterest or an Instagram or something like that. Maybe spend a little bit more time there, but again, don't overuse it, because a lot of this social media traffic is I call it flyby traffic. Especially Twitter. Twitter, yeah, you might have people retweeting you and quoting you and having conversations with you, but typically it's other bloggers with websites, people with skin in the game, people that are selling something. And that's not if you're selling a product, that's not your target market. You're almost wasting your time dealing with those people because they're not going to buy what you have. Yeah, maybe they promote you, maybe they want to get you some customers out there, but really you want to pay attention to the people that probably tweet more about their dog or tweet more about their work or tweet about their commute or something than they could tweet about sports cards all day long or promoting whatever they're trying to promote. And yeah, they might click on your articles, they might be clicking on your products to see what price you have so they can go drop theirs, or see what you put up so they can do the same thing. So that flyby traffic, not necessarily going to convert well for you. If you're selling a product or trying to get people for a group break or trying to get people to buy your single cards or whatever it might be that you're trying to do, that flyby traffic might not, even if you're an advertiser, if you're putting up a link on Twitter and you have like ads on your website and you're expecting people to click through on Twitter and then click through on an ad, that is really, really low. The odds of that happening are really low unless you have thousands of people coming through, and you're not going to have that happen in the sports card world. So, you know, you just want to be, especially in sports cards, you don't need to overuse the certain medias. And you need to identify your traffic. This is the one thing that I was talking to a friend the other day, a friend of mine that owns a business here in town, not in sports or anything. It's a pretty good margin business, but it's a lot of low dollar kind of stuff. It's kind of like a grocery kind of a convenience store type margin and type traffic. You need to sell a lot of low dollar stuff there. And he was talking about doing a radio spot and doing all this. And I was like, man, it's hard to measure those types of things. It's hard to measure. That's why I don't put ads really on this podcast, or really try to put even ads on my website and stuff like that, because it's hard to, a website's a little bit different, but like, you know, having somebody ad run during this, it's hard for them to measure, hey, how many people came over, especially if you're paying on it. And it's really a bad way as you to really grow your business, unless you just got marketing money spewing out of your, you know what, which most people don't, especially most startups and small businesses. You don't want to go that route. Don't advertise in ways you can't judge how the traffic came back in. Do not advertise on that. That's just a really, really bad idea. Things that do work are stuff like AdWords. I know a lot of people get burned by that, but you know, if you hang with it, you can figure it out. It's not really as expensive. Bing also has a service that you can advertise on. This is not really for sports cards. Not very many. There's very few competitive search terms in the sports card worlds where you could actually run an ad on, unless you wanted to like put a dollar per click on there for some reason. I don't know why you'd want to do that. But it's just not competitive enough to have Google pin that put the ads up. So, but you could certainly, if you were selling more product base, you could probably get some ads to roll, especially on Bing, and you could drive traffic there and be able to measure it. Be say, hey, I got 50 clicks for this price to this page, and I sold this many. So you could easily say, hey, I paid $1.50 for the traffic, and I sold one item for $3.75 that I made $2 on. So minus the dollar out, I make a dollar. So you end up, you know, you end up doing all right on buying the traffic over. Or you could, it could totally be a loss. You could buy over 150 clicks for $5 and sell nothing. And that could happen for several days in a row, and that's when you know it's not converting. You need to work on your ad or your landing page or whatever it is. So that's with ads. And that goes whether if you're doing with AdWords, or I see often people pay for ads on websites and stuff like that, and they send you to a homepage or send you something like that, and that's stupid. Send people to like an email sign up. Send people to a page tailored just for a particular product or a particular promotion that you might have, or a particular converting page you might already see on your website that already converts well, a best-selling product or a top commented article or whatever it is you're trying to, you know, don't just send people to your homepage, you know, unless your homepage is like a one-page kind of thing. But typically most people, especially product sites, they have multiple pages, multiple categories and stuff like that. I would send people to a coupon code page. If you were selling something, send people to an email sign up. A testimonial page works, or certainly a coupon where it's click here to go to this website to shop, and you're immediately presented with, hey, ending today, buy now, save 10% right now, blah, blah, blah. You could do that. I think that's kind of cool. Newsletters, another thing, underused. Most people don't use this. I started doing it last year with sports cards. I've done it for years in the website game. You know, it's just a classic way to get in front of your customers and get in front of people is newsletters. Contest and free stuff is always good. I mean, if you think you get a great reaction in sports cards, give an iPad or give an iPod away. And a lot of those giveaways, they don't end up giving away. Or give a $100 Home Depot card. There's affiliate programs out there that's what they do. You get 50 cents. You send them to them for a 50 cent sign up, and the publisher, the person you have the affiliate agreement with, is just $100 Home Depot gift card that I don't know if somebody wins, but they're collecting emails and then they just go send them on down the line. I don't really do those. That's kind of a really, really poor way to treat your users. So I don't typically do that, but there are people making lots of money. I met a guy that was his whole affiliate model. I talked with him in the hallway a couple months ago, and that was his whole model, was just getting traffic over, having them sign up at these things and doing lead gen and stuff like that. A lot of people do that. Nothing new. But contests and free stuff. So you can give away stuff that can promote your website very easily. And so really my point here is to sum up this segment is really there's so many different ways to promote your website. You don't need to rank high. You don't need to do anything like that. You don't have to have thousands of followers on Twitter. You don't even need, you just don't need a whole lot of stuff these days to be able to quickly boost. You know, back in the day, you had to wait. Sometimes you had to wait a couple months, especially if you didn't want to do ads or really do heavy promotion and getting out there. Back in the day, it was like, oh, get on a forum and start commenting and stuff like that. Well, a lot of forums have rules where you can't put links in your signatures, or you can only do it if you do this or that or whatever. Well, you know, that all got thrown out the window when, you know, like Twitter and Facebook and those kind of places, they don't care what you're doing as long as you're there, is kind of their mentality. They've changed it over the years and refined their practices, but Twitter's still a pure, whatever you want to put up, link blast, whatever you want to do, you can do. So, and it's much easier to gain a following and stuff like that with a broad audience when the internet is at people's fingertips. And so, don't get hung up. I think the biggest mistake I see with people, I have people ask me about website. I don't know if people think that I have good advice or whatever about websites or whatever. But I often get asked, especially from friends and people I know that are trying to set up a website or trying to market a business or something, for advice. And my advice is, don't get hung up on one thing, or don't put your mind and focus all on one thing. Don't focus on, oh, I need to get Google links and I need to get to the top of Google, or I need to own AdWords and be killing it there, or I need to be owning Twitter and be the top dog on Twitter, or I need to have a Facebook with thousands of people and comments all the time. No, you don't need any of that. I also met people that only got like 20 people. One guy I met in the website game got only about 20 people to his website, but he was selling like equipment, like workout equipment, like Bowflexes and stuff like that, where it's like a $2,000, $3,000 sale, where, you know, it's a harder sale to convert. But if you get 20 people and convert at a 1%, 2% every day, you're looking at lots of money. And so he had websites where he literally only got, like he said, 20 to 30 people a day, and he was selling like a Bowflex type machine every day. And it's all about getting targeted traffic. So that's really what you want to focus on. Don't focus on, oh, I want to be number one for the search term, when you might not even know if the people from that search term are going to buy what you have or even like your content or come back. It might be for something totally different that you don't even have to really work hard at. So just know your target audience. Try to find them however you can. Try to reach them and connect with them. And everything will fall into place for you after that. You don't have to be out there really worried about one thing or the other, or really get your head beat out against one, you know, trying to be top in this, or try to improve this. Just try to have a nice balance between them all. And I think you'll find that your promotion efforts will go really well, because you won't overspend your budget or your time in one individual area. So, and again, be aware of flyby traffic. I think this is you might tweet out something and get 20, 30 people to click on it, but, or 50 to 100 or whatever it is, but is it really doing you a lot of good? Is it really converting? What's your ultimate goal? If you're trying to sell products, you're trying to sell something, and if nobody bought anything, that failed. And even though you got people to your website, if nobody's buying anything, you actually don't even want them there. That's a waste of your time. I'd rather have two people come to my website that both bought something than 2,000 and none of them buy something. So it's certainly not a game of numbers. It's a game of quality. And you want to focus on that quality traffic, and typically like direct traffic, people coming directly to you that have already trusted you in some way or another, is typically the best you can get. And those are the numbers that aren't out there on whatever, certain metrics and stuff. Nobody can read your own direct traffic unless they hack into your server or hack into your Google Analytics or whatever. So those are the things you want to focus on if you're a webmaster. Don't worry too much about one certain thing, and certainly worry about quality of traffic and not the quantity. You don't need thousands and thousands and thousands of people coming to your website. You just need the ones that are going to deliver for you. And that's about it today, folks. Hopefully we delivered for you on today's program. I don't got a whole lot else I'm going to talk about today, and we're already at like the 40-minute mark. So hopefully everything's going well for you. I just blew my wad for 40 minutes, so I don't have a whole lot else to talk about. We're right in the summertime. You know, this is the time when don't spend all your money on sports cards. Try to save a little bit of money, but also, you know, it's great weather. Get outside. I know there's great sports on TV. We got baseball on TV, got finals, and got hockey, and got all the stuff going on right now. But it's nice. Take a walk, get out, relax. Sometimes that will You can even, like, sometimes I'll go out on a walk and I'll think about, like, cards I want to buy, or I'll think about, like, players that it's like, hey, you know, fans are starting to like this guy, or, like, maybe I should buy this guy, or maybe I should buy this set. So that sometimes goes through my mind, and sometimes it's easier to think about those kind of things when you're just in motion and moving. That's at least for me. Maybe it is for you too. We got some weird advice on today's show, so that's certainly a sign that we should end the program. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll be back soon. We are out of here.